College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we'll be joined by LSU head coach Will Wade. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on Stitcher. You can find us there right now. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And I want to let you know that today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is being sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dog to make you breakfast in bed? As nice as that sounds, that's probably never going to happen. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. Now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, August 3rd, Monday, right now when we're taping this podcast, is the day when, from a personnel perspective, with the exception of waivers that will be granted to transfers between now and the start of next season, is a day where we have clarity from a personnel perspective in college basketball, because it was the NCAA's early entry withdrawal deadline for the 2020 NBA draft. Now we know, after basketball stopped on March the 12th, who has decided to bypass the opportunity to go to the NBA and return to college basketball. And there were some programs who won, and there were some programs who lost. Let's go through right now the teams that won, and then we'll dive into those who were less fortunate. To me, you got to start with Arizona State getting Remy Martin back. Arizona State right now, with Bobby Hurley, has a chance to be one of the elite offensive teams in college basketball next year. Martin, Verge, Josh Christopher will be sensational on the perimeter. Staying in the Pac-12, UCLA got a big boost by getting Chris Smith back. Chris Smith obviously has a chance to be an All-American next year, one of the best players in the Pac-12. Then you have to look at the Big Ten. Illinois getting Io DeSumo and obviously Kofi Coburn back makes Illinois a team that has a chance to do what it did in 1989 and 2005 and get to a Final Four. Iowa and Luka Garza obviously are in a situation right now where they can also have a historic season. Iowa returns the National Player of the Year favorite. They will also be in a scenario where they'll get Jordan Bohannon back. And then a couple of schools I want to point out from the SEC. Will Wade and LSU got three key players back. Javonte Smart, Darius Days, Trenton Watford. Arkansas got Isaiah Joe back. And Alabama getting John Petty back gives the Crimson Tide a very potent 2-3-4 combination with John Petty, Jaden Shackelford, who I think is going to be an absolute star next season, and Herb Jones. Now, Alabama fans have wondered why a couple of weeks ago I forecasted their team as the eighth best team in the SEC. You know, that's real simple. You lose a lottery pick caliber point guard in Kyra Lewis. You replace him with a player in Javon Quinterly, who could not really get into Villanova's rotation consistently 2 years ago. And then at the five spot, you add a productive Ivy League player in Jordan Bruner, but one that is unproven at the high major level. We've seen that with mid-major players who went up a level and played in power conferences. So you're unproven at the one, you're unproven at the five. Love Alabama 2-3-4, but also need to see Alabama be better defensively. The Crimson Tide last year in 18 SEC games surrendered over 80 points a game. But a great day for Alabama on Monday, getting John Petty back. Now, who were some losers at the NBA draft deadline? I look at Washington State. I thought Kyle Smith not getting C.J. Ellaby back was something that obviously really hurts their ability to rebuild that program. Ellaby was a first-team All-Pac-12 caliber player. The same for Mississippi State not getting Robert Woodard back. Robert Woodard going back to Mississippi State would have kept Ben Howland's team in the hunt in the SEC. Now Mississippi State looks like a bottom-tier SEC team. They lose Tyson Carter, Nick Weatherspoon, Robert Woodard, and Reggie Perry from last year's team that won 20 games. And then on a mid-major note, Delaware losing Nate Darling is a crushing blow in the sense that you were a mid-major program who had somebody who was a star at the mid-major level, and you had a chance to be one of the best teams in the CAA, and Nate Darling opts to start his professional career. Now, we mentioned LSU's big day on Monday, getting Javonte Smart, Darius Days, and Trendon Watford back. What does this mean for the Tigers next season? We find out when we check in with Will Wade, the head coach of the LSU Tigers, right here on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein, coming up next. Before we talk to LSU's Will Wade, I want to tell you about our great sponsor, DraftKings. The final 22 NBA teams have made their way down to Orlando and are ready to get back out on the court. While the ending to this year's basketball season will be different than years past, there will not be a shortage of excitement, and there is no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To celebrate the return of basketball, DraftKings will have not one, but two $1 million top prizes through the first 2 days of the resumed season, so get in on all of the action now. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy basketball is easy to play, especially with our friends at DraftKings. Just pick 8 players, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for three-pointers, rebounds, assists, and more. There's no better way to put your basketball knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at $1 million, right? So what are you waiting for? But if basketball isn't for you, don't worry. DraftKings is offering plenty on fantasy golf action for this week's tournament, and of course, baseball. With millions of dollars up for grabs this week, there is no better place to have skin in the game than with DraftKings. Here's what I want you to do. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code COLLEGE to get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. That's promo code COLLEGE to get a free shot at millions of dollars with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And as I mentioned in our first segment, LSU was one of the big winners of the 2020 NCAA early entry withdrawal deadline for the 2020 NBA draft. The head coach of LSU was Will Wade. He now joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And Will, how would you describe the last 24 to 36 hours?
Well, it's been, it's been a little bit stressful, but we've been in constant communication with the players and their families throughout the process. And so, every situation was a little bit different. Some, had some last minute questions about feedback we had received from NBA teams. Some of them, wanted to give us some of the feedback they had received. And so it's just, it's just continuing the dialogue. All the situations have been where, we were in constant communication with the kid and their family, and there was dialogue back and forth. And so it was really just a continuation of that dialogue. And so it was just a unique process because, and I say this, without COVID, I don't think all three of our guys would have come back. I think being able to go and get get some workouts and live workouts in front of NBA teams, I think one or two of the guys probably would have worked themselves into a position where they would have for sure wanted to leave. Make no mistake, they had some opportunities to leave and they just thought they could position themselves better by coming back. But I do think if it weren't for the COVID and it wasn't for the amended process with just the video interviews and the Zoom interviews, I don't think the result would have been the same today for these three players and for our program. But it's the world we live in right now, and so it's our job to get them get them back and get back to work, and then put the best season we can ahead of us here.
Now, as a head coach, you're trying to gather as much information for your players as possible because their dream is to be a professional. That's much harder to do when there's no workouts or no combine. How much different was it this time around going through this process with your guys because of the pandemic?
Very different. You know, I don't get overly involved. I'm not, because I don't want them to feel like we're recruiting them back or I'm trying to get them back. You know, I just give them the feedback and you know, that I get verbatim from folks on the phone, or whether it be, you know, feedback from the underdraft advisory committee. But I try to be very careful because, I mean, let's face it, we all have selfish interests in it. We want players to come back, but, you know, for our programs. But at the same time, selfishly, I want guys to do what's best for them and to put themselves in the best position to, you know, to make their dreams, you know, to make their dreams come true. And I think it's, you know, it's tough for guys. You know, people, I had somebody ask me the other day, why do you think it's taken so long for somebody? I said, well, guys, because you got to understand, this is a lifelong dream for a lot of these kids. And some of them, you know, could be 2 months away from fulfilling that dream. And they've got to make a tough call and say, I want to come back for, you know, 10 more months and delay, you know, delayed gratification, which is very difficult in this society and in this world right now. And so, you know, it's you got to put yourselves in their shoes, and it's a very, very difficult decision for those kids and for their families. But like I said, I mean, I give them advice when they ask me, and I give them the exact feedback that I get in real time. But, you know, I don't want to act like I'm trying to recruit somebody back or bring somebody back, because it helps our program either way. Obviously, if they come back, we win a lot of games, and that's great for us. But if they go and get drafted and are very successful in the NBA, that's great for us as well and helps us in recruiting. So I look at it like a win-win, and it's just what's the best situation for each kid.
Well, now you know the team that you're going to coach next season. What's your assessment of LSU in 2021?
You know, we got to see how it all comes together on the court, but we've certainly got tremendous, tremendous individual parts, probably the most talented team we've had here, 1 through 13. You know, we're going to have 13 guys that are all eligible and ready to play and ready to go. And so I think we've got a really good mixture. We've got a bunch of big guys, which we didn't have last year. You know, we've got Josh Gray, a freshman, Brian Penn Johnson, both of them are over 7 feet, you know, who can anchor us down there. We've got Sharif O'Neal at 6'10". We've got Josh LeBlanc, 6'7". Obviously, we got Trendon Watford back at 6'9". We got Darius Days at 6'7", and then we've got a freshman, Imwani Wilkinson, about 6'6", 6'7". So we're just a lot longer, a lot bigger. We can play, you know, a lot of different ways. Even our guards are big. Eric Gaines is 6'3". Cam Thomas is 6'4", 6'5". Charles Manning is 6'5". Javonte Smart, 6'4". And then, you know, Jalen Cook's a little bit of an outlier for us at 5'10". But we've got, you know, we've just got a bigger, longer athletic team. I think it'll afford us to be a lot better defensively, which is a huge point of emphasis for us. Our offense hasn't been much of an issue. We've been very efficient and very, very good offensively. We've got to get better defensively, and just being longer, being athletic, and being able to protect the rim and block some shots and make some things happen at the rim, I think are all areas where we'll be vastly improved.
LSU's Will Wade joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And one of the guys that opted to come back to school is Trendon Watford, who was sensational last year as a freshman. As he transitions from a freshman to a sophomore, what do you anticipate?
Well, I mean, Trendon had a tremendous, tremendous freshman season. You look at it, I thought he should have been, you know, he was on the all-rookie team. I thought he should have been on the all-league team. I think coming back, he'll be in the conversation for preseason player of the year. I think he certainly should be, and deserving of that honor for, you know, averaging 15-8 basically as a freshman, 14-8 as a freshman, which is just tremendous. But, you know, I think the obvious things stick out. I've got to do a better job of putting him in position to make plays. You know, I did a poor job of putting him in position sometimes. And so, you know, we've got to get that assist to turnover ratio flipped. And I think I know he's going to do that, and I know I'm going to put him in better positions to do that, and play him a little bit more in the middle of the court, play him a little bit more on the elbows. And then, you know, we've got to get him more confidence from three. You know, he needs to shoot the ball more consistently from three. He's a very, very good three-point shooter. He's got good form. He's got good footwork. He works at it. I didn't do as good a job as I needed to do putting him in position and getting him easier looks. You know, he had to take some tough looks last year, had to take some looks off the bounce that are a little bit lower percentage shots. But we've got to get him some clean catch-and-shoot threes. And I think if we're able to, you know, get him out there making plays for himself, making plays for others, and more consistent from three, I don't think there's any doubt he will vastly improve his draft stock and be a first-round draft pick next year. We'll have a really, really good ball club.
Now, one guy in your program that is not getting a lot of attention, at least not yet, is Cam Thomas, a five-star freshman who might be in a situation where he was getting more attention right now if he went to Duke or Kentucky. What can people expect out of Cam Thomas next season?
Well, he's an elite, elite scorer. In fact, I just left the gym and he was coming back to came back and was shooting on one of the shooting machines, and on 500 threes, he shot 84% on 500 threes. So he's just an elite, elite shooter. He's very mature for his age. He's about his business. He comes in, does the work, and just goes about his business. He's got a very, very workmanlike and mature approach to the game and approach to basketball. And so I think he's somebody that's going to be one of the premier scorers, not only in the SEC, but in the country. And I'm not talking about just among freshmen. I'm talking about scorers, period. I think he's as gifted a scorer as I've seen. And one thing that is very, very impressive about him is he does a tremendous job drawing fouls. He gets to the free throw line a ton. He's able to contort his body and get his body in there and finish through contact and draw a bunch of fouls on drive. So he's a very, very good player and somebody that we're very excited about and can't wait to get him on the court so everybody in the country and everybody in college basketball can see him.
You know, Will, one of the areas where your team really struggled last year was with its ball security. You had 398 assists to 390 turnovers last season. How do you improve next year in that specific area?
Thanks for reminding me. But, I think, you know, Javonte is an elite, elite point guard. I think we have, you know, the best point guard in the SEC and one of the best point guards nationally. And with him coming back, this being his third year in a system, you know, what people forget is last year he had the best assist to turnover ratio in SEC play. And at the beginning of the year, he was transitioning. He played more off the ball the year before. And so he was transitioning into that point guard role and point guard spot. And so once he made that transition against really, really difficult competition in SEC play, he took off and just had a tremendous, tremendous second part of SEC play. He shot it really, really well from three. Like I said, he had the best assist to turnover ratio in league games of any point guard in the SEC, and did a great job, you know, making plays for others. And you know, we're going to play a little bit faster this year. We want to push the ball a little bit harder in transition. He's going to do a great job of that, getting that thing downhill, getting that thing in a scoring area in 4 seconds. We can play with a little bit more pace. But he's a tremendous, tremendous big guard. You know, he can get the ball where we want to get it, and I have no doubt, you know, with him and me putting him in a little bit better positions and him having a better understanding of what's going to be open out of our sets, what's going to be open out of what we do, I think he's going to have his by far his best season and position himself to be very, very successful in the future as well.
And you had talked about earlier that, you know, you have to get better defensively. Last year, you gave up just under 72 points per game in 18 league games and 80 or more 8 times. How specifically do you get better defensively?
Well, you know, it's tough. You know, we lost 2 SEC games where we scored 90 points. That's hard to do. We lost to Vanderbilt and Arkansas, both on the road, and we scored 90 points. And, you know, typically we haven't been – you know, maybe the most formidable defensive ball club. But we've been good enough when we score 85, 90 points to win almost every night, and we weren't last year. And so I think first off, you know, the first part of it I answered earlier is personnel. You got longer, you got more athletic, we got a little bit more rim protection, you know, that sort of thing. Our first shot defense wasn't terrible. We're going to change our scheme a little bit. We're going to go back and press a little bit more, especially on made baskets, get into some full court pressure. Not every time, but we're going to get back and press, and we're going to drop back into a matchup zone. Our best defensive team at VCU, we played a matchup, and we kind of played two or three different defenses in one possession, and it's very difficult to prepare for. It's not nearly as hard to run as maybe it looks, and so we're going to invest some time in that. And I think I did a poor job, with our team last year in terms of we tried to do way too much stuff defensively, and we weren't really, we didn't really have much we could hang our hat on. Like offensively, when things go bad, we can hang our hat on our offensive rebounding, our spacing, and being able to get to the free throw line. And so, but defensively, we just didn't have much we could hang our hat on. We weren't a great rebounding team. Our 3-point defense wasn't very good. And then some nights we'd foul too much. And so, we've got to have some things we can hang our hat on, maybe generating some steals with deflections, with the length and the athleticism and the bigger guards and the bigger wings and the bigger bigs that we have, so we need to be able to do that. And I think we'll be better defensively. Our guys are all aware that we need to improve defensively, and I'm certainly aware of it. One of the offshoots of the COVID here is I've had some time to spend studying, what went wrong last year, and then also what we can do to improve it, and where we can, where we can make some strides. So I think we'll get better. It's just going to be, the ceiling for our season will be how quickly we can improve and just how much we can improve. We've got to get that down to, because we're going to be good offensively again, and we've got really good offensive players, and we got guys who can make plays and playmakers and guys who can make shots. We don't ever have to be an elite defensive team and hold teams in the low 60s like a Virginia or anybody like that. But if we could get that number from 71 into the mid 60s, 64, 65, somewhere in there, we'd be in business.
And that'll obviously be correlated to your interior defense. You're going to add an impact transfer from Georgetown and Josh LeBlanc. You also added Brian Penn Johnson, a big man who I saw in a Washington practice a couple of years ago with a 7'7 wingspan. Do you plan on filing a waiver with the NCAA for Brian Penn Johnson next season?
Yeah, I saw him for the first time this past weekend. He is a massive human being. I say that in the best way possible. I mean, he's 7'1", 245. He has a 7'7 wingspan, like you said, 9'7 standing reach. When he walked through the door the first time I saw him, I thought, goodness gracious, I mean, he is huge. We're actually in the process of filing a waiver right now. We feel very, very good about getting the waiver. A lot of times when both sides agree, be it where he's transferring from and where he's transferring to, typically those are granted by the NCAA, and there were some circumstances, and I think both sides agree on this case that this would be in his best interest. So yeah, we feel like we'll have Brian for the entire season, and we're really, really excited about that. To be able to add somebody late that's 7'1" and can move like he can, and to make plays like he can is very, very exciting for us, and gives us a dimension that we just didn't have last season.
LSU's Will Wade joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Well, your roster is solidified today, but so is the rest of the SEC. Give me a team you expect at the top of the SEC to be really good, and then one off the radar towards maybe the middle or the bottom that not a lot of people are talking about, but you expect to be very good.
It doesn't take a rocket science to rocket scientist to figure out that Kentucky and Tennessee are going to be very, very good. Kentucky's got as talented of a freshman class, and then Coach Calipari does just a tremendous job coaching them. I mean, he's a phenomenal, phenomenal coach, and gets them to play hard and defend and really run good offense and take the shots that he wants to take. And then Coach Barnes does a tremendous job as well. And they've got some guys with experience with Biscovi back and Josiah James and Fulkerson. I know they've added some transfers. I'm not quite as familiar with their transfers right now, but I know they've added some talented transfers. A kid from Oregon, I believe, and another graduate transfer who both help them. And then their five-star five-star freshman class, top-ranked freshman, you know, top five freshman class. So there'll be tremendous players, tremendous coaching, tremendous culture there. I think Florida's going to be really good. They return a lot of experience, obviously with Scotty Lewis and Johnson and Omar Payne, and then they've got the, you know, they got point guard, they got Trey Mann and then Noah Locke, and they've got some transfers with Appleby and DeRuji from La Tech. So I think they're going to be really good as well. So I don't know which team's off the radar in the SEC. I think South Carolina is going to be very, very good. I think they return a lot of experience, a lot of really, really good players. I thought the big kid, Wydens, I can't think of his last name, McHugh maybe, something like that. I thought he played really, really well when we played them. I know he's somebody they're going to be counting on a lot more to protect the rim, but their guard plays great with Cousinard, and they've got Bryant and those guys back. And so I think South Carolina is a team that's going to be very, very good. You know, they're always going to be tough at defend and do all those things Coach Morton's teams always do very, very well.
You know, Will, for you personally, you know, you were suspended 2 years ago. You didn't get to coach in the NCAA tournament. We recently saw the NCAA take action with Oklahoma State. Are you expecting anything in the near future from the NCAA in regards to LSU?
No, not anything in the near future. I can't, you know, the rules are, unfortunately, I can't talk about that too much, but, you know, we're going to continue to cooperate any way that they want, but I don't think anything's imminent at this point. But like I said, we'll cooperate and do what they need us to do. Continue to do that. But you know, we feel very, very comfortable with where things stand.
Well, let's look ahead now to next season. Do you wake up and go to bed every day and every night believing that we're going to have a college basketball season?
Yeah, I think we'll have a season in some form or fashion. You know, I just don't know. I don't know what it'll look like or what it'll feel like, but I do think we'll have a season in some fashion. And, you know, I'm not sure when it'll start. Hopefully we can get things moving and people will wear masks and we'll make some progress on the virus here where we can you know, start November 10th. But if not, I think, you know, possibly looking to move it back to starting after Thanksgiving, when almost, you know, I don't keep a track of every school, but almost every school I've seen seems to be, when students go home for Thanksgiving, they're staying home. So you could pretty much create a bubble on your campus at that point for men's, women's basketball players and any other sports that are still competing. And so I would think that would be a good target date if we can't start on the 10th. But I do feel like we'll make some progress with the virus and be able to play. And we're certainly excited about it.
Final thing, you 2 years ago had a team that won the SEC regular season title. Does this LSU team have the chops and the requisites to be as good as the one we saw win the conference 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. I think so. Absolutely. You know, we've got veterans. You know, we've got Javante and Darius Daves, who we haven't talked about, who was another one of our guys who came back, who's really been, he's been working out with us for the last, you know, 2.5 weeks, and he's just been so focused. He has that laser-like focus. He's taken the feedback from the draft process, and he's just been laser focused on his body, his agility, his shooting. He's done a tremendous job. But we've got a lot of we've got Days and Javante and Trendon and Charles Manning, who would have played a huge role for us. You get Josh LeBlanc at some point during the season, who has a year and a half of college basketball under his belt at a high level at Georgetown. You got Brian Penn Johnson, who's played a lot of, you know, who's been in a lot of high level environments and, you know, been in some high level practices at Washington and been around it and has a good idea on things. You know, you've got those guys that have been around. Andre Hyatt, who's played some minutes for us and been in some tough environments in the SEC. Then you add some really, really talented newcomers, Imani Wilkinson, Eric Gaines, Jalen Cook, Cam Thomas, Josh Gray. You add those newcomers that are very, very talented with that veteran core and guys who have been through it and can help lead those other guys. I think you've got a very, 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 very good ball club and a team that's, got a chance to compete at the top of the SEC. And anytime you're competing at the top of the SEC, you're going to have a chance to compete nationally. So we're excited about our team, and just looking forward to starting the journey of building the team, building the chemistry, and building the winning habits that we're going to that we're going to need, because there's going to be a lot of close games, a lot of tough games in the SEC.
Well, Will, thanks a lot for your time. I know how busy you are, especially on a day like today. Stay safe during the pandemic, and as always, look forward to staying connected along the way.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, and hope everybody stays safe, and see everybody in the gym soon, hopefully.
We'd like to thank LSU's Will Wade for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on Stitcher. You can find us there right now. But before we get to our social media portion of the program, we all had plans for the summer that either got canceled or postponed. Festivals, weddings, concerts, they all feel like a thing of the past. Our plans might be canceled, but summer is still out there. We just need to work a little harder to make our summer moments happen, and Coors Light wants to be right there with you, making it easier to chill this summer and giving you a break from the stress and pressures of daily life. So when you need a moment of chill, choose the one beer that's made to chill, Coors Light. And with the new limited edition Coors Light Summer Can, featuring sunglasses that literally turn blue when it's cold, you'll know exactly when your beer is chilled to perfection and ready to drink. Listen, the college hoop season might be over, but even in the summer months, there's still plenty of work to do preparing for next season. And to cap off my day, nothing beats a warm summer night and the mountain cold refreshment of Coors Light. Refreshing, crisp, and only 102 calories, Coors Light is the one I choose when I need a moment of chill. So when you want to reset this summer, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Have Coors Light delivered by going to get.coorslight.com and find local delivery options near you. That's get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And now send me your questions on Twitter. I will get to them right now. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Our first question comes from Fox Mulder. It's John, following last year's run by Dayton, how do you expect them to do this year following the recent announcement by Jalen Crutcher to return to school? Well, Fox, let me put it to you this way. Last year, Dayton had a once-in-a-lifetime type season. They were one of the best teams in the country. They had a chance to go to the Final Four. I think Dayton will be a very good team this year, a team that will be one of the better teams in the Atlantic 10. I think a reasonable goal for Dayton with Crutcher, with Rodney Chapman, with Ibby Watson, is to get back to the NCAA tournament. Our next question comes from Jake Ephraim, and it's, John, where does Indiana finish this year in the tough Big Ten? Well, Jake, that's an interesting question, because you look at the Big Ten, and I think you've got potentially six or seven teams that could be ranked in the preseason top 25. I have four teams, which I'll tell you more about in a minute, ranked in my top 11. Indiana looks like it's the best Indiana it's going to be under Archie Miller. But in this year's Big Ten, that may not be good enough to crack the top four because the league is so loaded at the top. And our final question comes from Kyler Gilbert. It's, John, will Johnny Juzang be an impactful addition to UCLA starting five? Without question, I think you look now at UCLA, a team that last year in year one under Mick Cronin was one missed shot by Jonah Matthews away from winning and sharing the Pac-12 regular season title with Oregon. They get everybody back. They bring in a top 100 forward in Jalen Clark. And then you add Johnny Juzang from Kentucky. Right now, the Bruins looked like the team that will be the preseason favorite in the Pac-12. I know, obviously, we're going to see Arizona State be a very good team, Oregon's Oregon, but I see UCLA as being the team right now that's favored to win the Pac-12 in the preseason. And now, let's get to my Rothstein 45. My top 45 teams as of now. This will be updated instantly on Twitter if there are any current transfers receive waivers from the NCAA to play immediately next season. Number one, I'm going with Villanova. The Wildcats have two All-American candidates in Colin Gillespie and Jeremiah Robinson-Earl, as well as a burgeoning star in Justin Moore. Number two, Baylor has tons of pieces back, a dynamic backcourt, and also Adam Flagler, an impact transfer from Presbyterian. Iowa 3, Virginia 4, Sam Hauser, the transfer from Marquette, will be sensational. Wisconsin at 5. Here's the thing you got to remember when you look at Wisconsin. The Badgers are slated right now to start 5 seniors. That's unheard of in college basketball in 2020. And then they will also be projected on top of that to start 3 fifth-year seniors, experience oozing out of Madison. I have Gonzaga falling from 1 to 6 following the loss to Philip Petrušev. Look, Philip Petrušev was a first-team All-American, in my opinion, coming back this year, a 17-8 guy. He was the reigning WCC Player of the Year. I know that Drew Timmy can slide into that spot, but I don't think you can just plug and play when you lose a first-team All-American. I have Gonzaga at 6. Illinois, who I talked about at 7, legitimate Final Four contender. Kansas at 8, Duke at 9, Creighton 10, Michigan State at 11. Now, the Spartans lost Xavier Tillman to the NBA draft on Sunday. But Mati Sissoko should be a tremendous freshman, having a chance to anchor the 5. UCLA at 12. Florida State at 13. Scotty Barnes should be one of the best freshmen that Leonard Hamilton has ever coached. Arizona State at 14 should be one of the better offensive teams in college basketball. Tennessee 15. Kentucky 16. Kentucky at 16 without Olivier Saar. That will change if he gets a transfer from the NCAA to play immediately. They will move up the transfer from Wake Forest. 17 is LSU. 18 is Texas. Should be Shaka Smart's best team in Austin. Number 19 is West Virginia. 20 is Houston, the heavy favorites in the American. Rutgers at 21. 22 is Oregon. Will Richardson on the verge of becoming a star. North Carolina at 23. Should be a good bounce back season for the Tar Heels, who should be ruthless up front on the backboards. Two freshmen coming in, Dayron Sharp and Walker Kessler. And also you have two proud veterans up front in Garrison Brooks and Armando Bacot. The point guard play, the shooting, a question from North Carolina, but they should be vicious on the backboards. Indiana at 24, Texas Tech at 25, Ohio State at 26. I'm seeing a breakout year from EJ Liddell. Florida 27, Stanford at 28. Not as high of a ceiling for the Cardinal without Tyrell Terry, who stayed in the NBA draft, but Zaire Williams will be a lottery pick in 2021. And Oscar Da Silva, one of the better front court players nationally that not a lot of people know about. UConn at 29. Dan Hurley has the Huskies on the cusp. James Bouknight as a sophomore, a dark horse candidate to be an All-American. St. Louis at 30 is the heavy favorites in the Atlantic 10, or a slight favorite maybe over Richmond. I just think that the Billikens talent level, now that they're at full strength, getting back Gibson Jimerson, getting back Fred Thatch, they've got two guys back who averaged a double-double last year in Hassan French and Jordan Goodwin. This is the most talented team in the Atlantic 10. Miami at 31. Why Miami? Experience. Chris Likes and Cam Augusti in the backcourt. And Nasir Brooks, the transfer from Cincinnati at the 5, should be absolutely sensational. Louisville at 32, Richmond at 33, another A-10 school. Arkansas at 34, got some good news with Isaiah Joe coming back. Providence at 35, Providence will depend on two transfers to have major impacts, Jared Bynum and Noah Horsler. South Carolina at 36, Cousinard, Lawson, anchor that backcourt for Frank Martin, who should get back to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2017. Michigan at 37, love Michigan 2-3-4 with Eli Brooks, Franz Wagner, and Isaiah Livers, but Juwan Howard's going to have to replace Xavier Simpson at the point. Mike Smith, the grad transfer from Columbia, is in line to that, and he also has to replace John Teske at the 5, Hunter Dickinson in position to do that, the impact freshman. Arizona at 38, Oklahoma sneaky good at 39, Oak State at 40 with Cade Cunningham, Georgia Tech at 41, Michael DeVoe is the name to watch on Georgia Tech. Should be one of the best guards in the ACC. Purdue at 42, SMU at 43, Seton Hall at 44, and at 45, the Memphis Tigers. I'd like to thank LSU head coach Will Wade for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. One thing that we saw today, and I want to leave you with this. There was a feeling the last couple years that a lot of players that weren't ready for the NBA draft stayed in the NBA draft anyway because they wanted to start their professional clock. That didn't happen this year. A lot of guys went back. What does that mean? The college basketball season next year will be electric from start to finish whenever it starts. I want it to start November 10th on schedule. So what does that mean? Wear a mask. Socially distance. Do whatever you can do to flatten this curve so we can have the best college basketball season that we can possibly have, and also so we can get our lives back. You have a choice every single day. Wear a mask. I'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.